CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, is here to help me understand strategy, global strategy in these days following the tragedy in Kabul and the changing map of Eurasia, with the U.S. and its NATO allies having departed from Afghanistan, imminently to depart from Iraq, and perhaps to resolve Iran's conflict with the IAEA and other nations by reawakening the Iran deal. All of that suggests that there's a map being redrawn now, and we start in Beijing because, perhaps coincidence, perhaps connected, last week, Thursday night, U.S. time, the President of the United States, from the residence, from the treaty room at the residence, Mr. Biden called General Secretary Xi Jinping of the Chinese Communist Party, would have been in the morning in Beijing, had a lengthy discussion that's characterized variously as being keen on the issues that have raised tension between the two states in these early months of the Biden administration. I don't want to go any farther than that because Gregory's here to help me. Gregory, the first puzzle is why Mr. Biden would make this phone call in the midst of what you'd have to say is foreign policy turmoil. The polls showed the American people extremely unhappy with the way Afghanistan was handled by the Biden administration. Is there a link between this and the call to Xi, or does this link to what we're getting or breaking news now? The largest property developer company in China is now said to be calling in strategic review boards to look for bankruptcy, which is impossible to imagine because that's the collapse of a large part of the Chinese property market where the savings of the Chinese people exist. And then we have all the other tension, a submarine north of Japan passing through and alarming the Japan Defense Ministry, with a confrontation in India, etc. So do you see this phone call between the President and the General Secretary as independent of all that trouble or integrated into that trouble? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, as usual, everything is connected. My old friend, the notorious Miles Copeland, who was described by Time magazine as the only man to have used the CIA as a cover. Anyway, Miles was a great analyst and a friend and advisor to Gamal Abdel Nasser. And he once said that U.S. foreign policy is merely U.S. domestic politics carried out abroad. And that's what we're seeing with that telephone call from President Biden to General Secretary Xi. The reality is that they're both playing the international card for domestic political reasons. Both see this time frame as critical to their survival as leaders of their respective countries. General Secretary Xi, is, as we've discussed, is lining up votes, if you like, to make it appear as though he has been a successful leader of the PRC so that he can be re-elected to a third term, literally as what we would call the president of the People's Republic of China at the Party Congress, the Communist Party Congress in October next year. So it's by no means guaranteed that Xi will regain that. So he has to look as though he's the winner in all of this turmoil in Central Asia today. President Biden has to make it look as though he is a tough, incisive, and insightful leader who is not, in fact, flinching from confronting the People's Republic of China. In fact, he has flinched in that confrontation and has absolutely abjectly failed. But his call to Xi was in the mold of the U.S. taking the confrontation to the doors of Beijing and saying, look, we're not going to tolerate this, or we demand that or this. The reality is that it was, in substantive terms, not nearly as important as it was in propaganda terms, probably for both leaders. Xi portrays this as Biden coming to him to explain his position. Biden is saying, look, see how assertive I am. The reality is that it hasn't changed anything on the ground whatsoever. They're both in very weak positions. Xi Jinping is now moving into a process where he greatly benefited from the arrival of the Biden administration, and even more benefited from the Biden's withdrawal, the manner of his withdrawal of U.S. influence from Afghanistan and Central Asia, because that gives Xi at least a little opportunity to control his near abroad as he begins to collapse his entire economy back into a Maoist mold. In other words, a mold where he can control everything, the borders, the size of the economy, and the level of opposition which he may face. Until now, because of the freewheeling nature of the mainland Chinese economy, a lot of people gained a lot of money, some of them within the party, some of them nominally supporting the party, but a lot of people out there have the means to dissent from Xi's recognition that the People's Republic of China experiment has essentially failed in the last dozen or so years, and that China has been forced to contract back to a model where it does not compete directly with the United States or the West.
The threats in East Asia, the threats to Taiwan are incessant, but recently there have been sharp words directed against Japan. Wang Yi, the foreign secretary, visiting in Vietnam, warning both countries, do not move forward together, do not be provocative, do not do something unilaterally. This at the eve of Japan and Vietnam working out what you'd have to say is a mutual alliance to deal with China. Is China confronting these things honestly? Is it recognizing that it created this problem with the wolf warrior and the aggression of these last years? Or is China still of the position that it is the supreme power, not only of Asia, but of the earth, and therefore all these smaller states must accommodate themselves? What is the opinion in Beijing?
Well, the reality is that Beijing has to puff itself up, adopt the wolf warrior diplomacy to bluster and pretend that it is still on the path towards superpower status. Yes, of course, it's got a lot of physical capabilities to fight a war, but it has none of the capabilities to win a major strategic war. So the reality is that Beijing has to continue with this policy of bluster. It has to threaten. It has to try to curb the inevitable rise of the containment alliance, which is surrounding it literally from all sides. It had some success with the collapse of the U.S. position in Central Asia, and it's hoping to build on that to say, see, you know, the U.S. can't help you. The U.S. has gone away. We are the great power. You better back down. But it hasn't had that effect, as we know. It's certainly had an impact because people do stop and think about this, whether it's in Australia or Vietnam or and the like, because they say, well, will the United States come to our support? But the reality is that Vietnam, Japan, and the like have no option but to confront and contain the PRC and the Communist Party of China, and they are doing so. We saw that Japan moved ahead with its closer defense relationship with Vietnam. Russia has a very strong defense relationship with Vietnam and has attempted, by the way, to continue something that is always done since the end of World War II, which is to build a strong relationship with Indonesia. And that's aimed specifically at curbing the potential for the People's Republic of China to move southward. We see the India and Japan working more and more closely. We see Japan supporting directly and emphatically supporting the defense of Taiwan, the Republic of China, in the event of a PRC invasion or attack on Taiwan. So everywhere that Xi Jinping goes, he is meeting resolute opposition, and despite the bluster, that opposition continues to strengthen and become more credible. He knows he can't militarily attack Taiwan directly because that would trigger a larger war which would engage Japan, and that would automatically engage the United States. He knows now that it would also include the Soviet, the Russians working with Vietnam, the Indians working with Vietnam, Japan working with Vietnam, the Philippines now in the alliance with Japan and Taiwan to a degree. So everything works against Xi, and Xi knows this. He is merely trying to retain credibility by appearing to be the big man internationally so that he can ensure that the Communist Party keeps him on as the leader coming into the next, you know, 5 year or so decade, because that's the critical time when the PRC has run out of cash, has to contract to internal trade. It's done this in a way where Xi cuts down his domestic opponents by removing their economic base. This is why he's wiped $3 trillion off the value of the Beijing and Shanghai stock exchanges in the past month or so.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We turn to Afghanistan and that call between President Biden and General Secretary Xi. What about Afghanistan? Was it mentioned? And is it important that Afghanistan right now is fog of war, but there is reason to believe it will change again, ungoverned space? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.